The Orphanage Girls Reunited by Mary Wood, read by Neka Okoye. Chapter 1. London, 1910. Ellen looked back from the landau her father had dragged her to. Through her tears, she could see her beloved friend Ruth standing on the pavement and could hear her desperate plea.
"Write to me, Ellen. I live at number 3, Little Collingwood."
"Ellen, turn yourself around now. I don't want you to even look at that girl, and I forbid you to write to her. That life is behind you. I want us to make a new life. Today is your birthday treat. I cannot believe you are 11 already, and I want you to enjoy our time together. We can only heal everything by forgetting it all and making a new beginning."
As the horses trotted on, Ellen felt her father's hand take hold of hers. It was a mystery to her why he didn't want her associating with Ruth. Lovely Ruth, who'd been like a big sister to her and Amy when they were all in the orphanage together. Ellen pondered on that time, trying to understand why her father had taken her to the orphanage in the first place. Why couldn't he have stuck up for her against the hatred of her stepmother, who'd never called her anything but "your father's bastard"? And why to such a place? Didn't he love her? But then, he must do, as he hadn't callously walked away when he'd left her. She'd felt the wetness of his tears as he'd held her in a hug, heard the sob in his voice when he'd told her, "It's all so complicated, and shouldn't have to come to this, but Daddy will come and fetch you one day. Hold on to that, my dear Ellen. And I'm sorry, so very sorry." And he had kept that promise as soon as his wife had died, hadn't he? But as much as she tried to justify and reason it all out, painful memories and the reality of all that she'd been through shuddered through her. She tried to block them by listening to her father. She hadn't taken in all he'd said, but now he was saying,
"Promise me, Ellen. Look, I have something to tell you."
With this, a new fear gripped her. Was he going to send her away again?
"You look cold. You shivered just now.
Driver, take us to Bond Street, please."
Turning to her once more, he leaned in and said,
"We'll get you a lovely present there, dear, and we'll buy you some new winter clothes. But all that will be after we have a nice warm drink."
He held her tightly to him for a moment. When the landau pulled up and her father lifted her down, Ellen's fear gave her the sensation of being transported to another world where she could feel nothing and didn't want to. The glittering shops, the hustle and bustle and the noise of the traffic hardly impacted on her as her mind focused on what she would be told.
"That's the shop we need, dear."
The imposing building of J. Moffat Milliners and Costumiers had a window displaying many hats on the left-hand side of the door and ladies' fashions in the right-hand window.
"They have a department for children. They'll be able to kit you out. But come on, dear, let's cross the road and go into that tea shop. We'll get you a hot drink to warm you up and then do our shopping. And, like I said, I need to talk to you."
As they walked towards the tea shop, Ellen thought her father's voice a little too jolly.
"Look, doesn't it look nice? They make lovely pastries. We'll have one with our drink."
The tea shop, with draped net curtains, huge flower pots each side of the door, and window boxes full of pansies, did look pretty. But to Ellen, it held a dread of what was in store for her. Tentatively sipping the hot milk, she looked around at the ladies in big hats gossiping whilst drinking their tea out of delicate china cups, all calm and proper, until a little boy suddenly began to cry loudly. The ladies turned and stared at his mother. She hurriedly stood, and with her now screaming son in her arms, fumbled in her purse. On impulse, Ellen left her seat and went up to her.
"Can I hold him for you while you pay your bill?"
The lady gazed down. Her eyes seemed to hold love. She put out her hand, and Ellen felt it gently stroke her hair. But then, when she spoke,